Okay. We are getting to almost get to the end here. This is the final week of XML. So next week we have some topics regarding more physical aspects and operational aspects of the database. And then we're wrapping up the week after. Since you're here, today's lecture is not cancelled. I'm sorry for the confusion, because the Wednesday lecture that's cancelled is next week. This week is as original planned, and I thought it was a good idea to announce that in advance, but obviously there was some confusion. I had a message yesterday towards the end of the day asking if there was indeed a lecture. And then I realized that it might be misunderstandings here, so I'm sorry. Well, since you are here, you probably picked it up. For those who aren't here, they will have to watch the video. Another question is, the text was, I hadn't updated on assignment 6, the text saying that how to submit. So from the submission text, it seemed that you had to do this individually. No, you don't. I have changed the text now, so stick with the groups that you have already. There's no need for submitting this one individually. I'm planning to have a reference group meeting this week, so if there is anything you would like to announce or discuss or have us discuss, then talk to the representatives or send me a message that we can for anything that you would like to us to talk about problems. I mean, there isn't much, if you go back here, there isn't much we can fix or change for this year, but hopefully we can change for next year if there's something that needs to be adjusted. XML. I hope, I'm sorry that you had a little bit, a little time to do the DOM part. I mean, we had went through DOM on Wednesday, Thursday, and then you had to already submit on Sunday. So it wasn't much time, and there is the DOM is not very complex, but understanding everything and getting to practice and traverse up and down along all these links and get all these node lists is it takes some time to practice. And this year we are a little bit 1 week later on these things than last year, so you had a bit less time than we had before. So that's something that we will look at next year. But I hope you came through and learned DOM and get familiar with using DOM to iterate documents and get content. So what we're going to do this week is to look at how we can validate documents. We already talked about well-formed, that XML documents need to be well-formed, meaning that tags need to properly close. If you have a start tag, you have an end tag. Always, even if it's empty, then you have to either have an end tag or indicate the end within the tag. And we need to have proper nesting, and attribute values need to be in apostrophes, and all these things. But it doesn't say whether or not the document has the structure we expect. So now the skier logs document from assignment 5 is also going to be the one we use in assignment 6. Because you are picking out information about clubs and club IDs and skier IDs, and we need to link and we need to get the usernames. And this document is nice because the one I provided, because it's complete. But what now if we feed an incomplete document into your code? What will happen then? Will it fail or will it break? What will happen? So every time you access a node list, you access an attribute or some content, we will have to test, is it really there? Because we don't know that the document we got was good structure. So that's what validation is all about. How can we provide or simplify the process of testing if the document is correct? And that's we can do in validation. So let's start by the just an example. So let's say this is our let's see here. This is the XML document, the skier logs document. Now let's say that we got a document where the county was not there in the document. So we tested the code. Okay, we know the code works on this, on the document that was proper, but the document may not be proper. So what now if we try to run this? Okay, so all of a sudden our tests fail. It's trying to get property of a non-object. Where do we start finding this one? And this is just one place. It could be something else that's lacking. So because when we program, we assume that all clubs have counties, and we assume that all skiers have first name and last name, and we assume that all seasons have skiers that are skiers. So we assume quite a lot about the structure, but there is no guarantee that the document indeed has this structure. So rather than having to put test everywhere in the code, so in the code here, we will go and get children, look at the item, and get node values for the text. We can get the element value for the name child, the city child, the county. All of these we will ideally have to, or we would have to say, is it there? And if it's there, we're going to get it. If it's not there, we're going to tell the user something's wrong with your document. So think about all the places in your code where you access the document to get a certain element or to get a certain text or to get a certain attribute. In all those places, you will need to put in code saying, okay, if it's not there, we need to tell the user that this is an invalid document. But the good thing is now with validators, we can make a schema. So here, I'm just saying that, okay, once I loaded the document, I'm just going to validate it against a schema. And if it is invalid, then the user will know. It doesn't matter where the problem is. Whatever it is, if there is a skier without a first name, if there is a club without a county, if there is an empty log, whatever, that is not according to our schema, we will know. And if I run it again, then it will say, this validation failed. Element club is missing the ID. Now, this is not what we would send to the user. What we would do is that if the constructor crashes, if there's an exception thrown in the constructor, then what we will do is to say to the user, this is an invalid document. So please check your document. And this is the schema it should validate against. You follow me? So we centralize all the testing of whether the document has the content that we expect in one place. And if it fails, we tell the user. Rather than having, whenever we access the document to get something, we don't have to deal with all the exceptional cases. So this simplifies coding quite a lot. So why validation? We need to write less code, because rather than in every statement where we access a node list or access a node, rather than putting the test there to see if it contains what we expect to contain, we could put it all in that one place. And of course, that there are less chances for bugs, because if the schema is complete, then we could do that schema testing once, and in the rest of the code, we can assume that the documents have the content we expect. And also, a schema functions as documentation. And we're going to come back to this throughout the day. So if we're going to use the nutrition as an example, because, I mean, you're going to make the ski logs schemas. I'm not going to show my solution to it. But I'll see what here. You remember the nutrition document? So we had daily values, and we had all the food items. So this is how a schema could look like. So it says that, okay, this document will contain a nutrition element, and the nutrition element contains elements named daily values and elements named food. And this one, may occur many times. As I said, we're going to go back to the details in this lecture, but this is what the schema is. And when I get this, I get to understand what is the expected structure of a nutrition document. I can look at the schema, or if this is in a DTD, which is another way to express a schema, I could do the same. I can see here that the nutrition document is supposed to contain at least exactly one daily values element and one or more food elements. And the food element may contain name. So you see here, food element may contain the sequence of a name, a manufacturer, serving, calories, total fat. So it explaining the structure. So with this one document, I can see what is the expectation. So it says here that there should be vitamins, and vitamins should be A followed by C. So I know exactly what the structure. So the schema that we develop, either it's the DTD or an XML schema, functions as documentation. By getting it, we know what is expected. And but the most important thing is that we can use it for testing. We use it to validate that the document is the way it's supposed to be. So then, what do we need to do? First thing is we need the schema. So that's your assignment 6 work, is to develop a schema for the skier logs document. And there's also first part where I like you to think about how we could have specific validation for some very specific text elements. And once you have a schema, you need to use a validating parser. And as you see in PHP, I can just, the DOM has a parser, and I can activate it by just saying schema validate, or just validate if it's a DTD I have, but we'll come back to that. So why are there two, DTD and schema? That's something we want going to look at throughout this, or talk about later. So what would we validate? What is the content of knowing DOM? We have talked about DOM and types of DOM nodes. What is the content? How do we encode the content in an XML document? What are the parts of an XML that we use? What types of DOM nodes do we have? That's interesting. Nothing? DOM node is the parent of many special types of nodes. Which are these types of nodes that are relevant for us? It's early in the morning. Would it be interesting to test comments? Comments is a subclass. Is it interesting to test for comments, to validate comments? No. Comments are for users, readers. Okay, so it's not comments. What other types of DOM nodes do we have? Elements? Yes, we have elements. So inside elements, we would like to see that the element is properly structured. What can be inside an element? It could be other elements or text, or both. Yeah. So we might want to test to validate the element. And the text that is within an element, we may want to test that as well, to see that if it's a date of birth, we would like to test that this is a real date. Because remember, if you parsed a document and you say this is date of birth, and you're going to put it in the database as a date field, we need to know that this is actually a real date. It's not just some text string. So we need to validate that the value is a valid date. So the text nodes. And of course, same with attributes. We may want to have attributes. Let's say the attribute is a telephone number. Then we would like to make sure that this is a valid telephone number. So that's what we would like to validate: a structure, attributes, and text content. That's basically what we validate. So that's what we find in the DDD and in the schema. We find constructs for specifying what is the valid tree structure, what are the valid or where can we have attributes? What are the names of the attributes that could be there? And what possibly could be the valid value an attribute can have? And the same with text content. Where can we find text content? And are they just strings, or are supposed to be integers, or dates, or positive numbers? What should it be? We'll talk about that. We have kind of three big groups of documents. We have what you call the data-centric documents that are kind of records. So the nutrition document, the ski logs document is typically like this. What is it? It's a set of records, if you think about it. And for each record, and we talked about JSON, so think of it as JSON as well. So you have the name of the attribute and the value. And the value may be complex, maybe an object. So it may have a number of attributes and other elements in it. It has a regular structure, like this nutrition document. So if you find this nutrition document, it has a. If you look at it, it has first daily values, which is a set of attributes, and then it has a food type with a set of attributes, another food with a set of attributes, another food with a set of attributes. So it's quite regular. And for each, you find attributes for the name, for the manufacturer, for serving, for calories, and everything. And then you have narrative documents, HTML. And if we, I don't know if this is a good example, though, but let's find... let's go here, for instance. Let's view page source. So, as you can see here, there is no much structure. There is lots of text and some tables and some links, some strong. So it's text with markup. It's not that you can't, as in the food, you can't find all the food items. I mean, this is just some text with sections and tables and headers, which is very different from the data-centric. And then we have this kind of in-between, the kind of mixed documents. Do you know RSS? RSS feeds. So in RSS, you could subscribe to news in the channel. And if you look at a typical RSS document, it's something like this. So it's structured. So you could see there are a number of channels. In this case, just one. And the channel has a title, has a description. And here is some category, which is another document. Now, if we go down a little bit, you find here the description here. It has text, but inside the text, it's markup. So it's kind of mixed. So this node, this description node, is a mix of text and markup. So it's kind of a narrative document, but the narrative part is within a structured document. You see that? So it's not that it's either just narrative or it's just structured. In this case, it's a structured document, but inside you have parts that are kind of narrative parts that mix text and markup. We talked about well-formed already. So well-formed are strictly enforced. All XML documents need to be well-formed. But a document doesn't have to be valid. It doesn't have, I mean, as long as an XML document is well-formed, it's fine. But then certain applications need to understand the structure. So an RSS reader would need to understand the content of an RSS. So that's why there is a specification for RSS structure. And we can have a schema. And it needs to be valid, because if it's not valid, it doesn't contain the channel element, then the RSS reader won't know what to do. So the validation means that it has the proper structure as specified by some XML application or by some standard. So, for example, SVG, XHTML, RSS, SMILE, SOAP, RDF, there are loads of this. And in our case, I have a in the on Blackboard, you find an example for a nutrition document. You find a DTD and a schema that we're going to work through. And then in the assignment 6, you're going to make a schema for your own or for our Skia Logs document structure. So that's where we're heading. And to validate, one way that is already is that you can call it in the code. So I use the PHP to call the validators. After I load the Skia Logs, I ask it to validate against the schema. But you may also use an XML editor with a built-in validator or some XML validators. So the one we're going to be using and you should use to test that your schema is okay in the assignment is called XML validation. So if you go to xmlvalidation.com, you're going to get here. And we can start by just doing this. We just delete this. You get to the validation service. This is a service, and it asks you to either type in the XML content or upload a file. So we could choose a file. We upload a file. So in this case, I would like to do the skiers log, the ski logs. So when I validate it, it's going to say, hey, I can see that there is a schema referred to here. So where is the schema? In this case, I also have a file for the schema, the XSD, and I can continue validation. So what did it say? So it gave me the same message as we had before. Club is not complete. It says it expects county to be a child of club. And if you look at the first one here, Asker is fine. But then if you look at the, let's see, sorry. So here Lillehammer, you see name, city, but county is missing. So that's what it says here. It's not finding county. It expected to find county here. It didn't. Because that's what the schema says, that it should be a county child. So use the xmlvalidation.com, or, I mean, you can also, well, if you want to, if you want to get used to with the PHP, you could program a small program in PHP that opens your XML skier document and validates against the schema, and you can run it every time. So if you'd like to do that, you can do it. You don't have to use this validation service. You can write a small PHP script that will do the same thing that I did before. Loads the file and validates against the schema. But this validation is already done, so you can just upload. The one thing to be aware of, though, is that they don't handle Unicode very well. So this is how Norwegian characters look like. So don't worry about it. It handles it properly. It's just an encoding problem when I display it here. So it, this one is assuming that this is ISO Latin. But we send it UTF-8, so it's messed up in the interface. But don't worry, it's UTF on the inside. So, but if you would like to get rid of that, just use the validator inside PHP. And there are some special purpose validators. So for web content, you could go to the W3 validator. For RSS, you could use the different validator also provided by W3C. So there are some other validators for specific schemas. You don't have to provide the schema. But in our case, we're going to write the schema, so that's why we use the general validator. So in PHP, it's quite straightforward. DOM document, so after you load the document, you can call validate if you have a DTD, or but just say you just validate when the DTD. You should probably have the DTD file here. I think. I forgot about that. No, you don't, because That's the problem. Inside the DTD, you have a system URL, so it will tell you where the file is. We'll look at that. But for XML or schema, you will need to say where the document is. What's the name of the document? So just this small script, if you would like to do it this way, just write this small script and replace nutrition with the ski logs, and then you have a PHP script that you could use to run your validation script. Or you can use XML validation. It's your choice. So that was kind of what we want to do. Now we will need to look into what the validation consists of. And we're going to start with the DTD. DTD is the document type definition, and it's an XML standard, one of the very old ones that was developed long before the kind of data-centric XML documents came up. So this was used even for HTML. So DTD specifies the structure of an XML or HTML document. It has a very unfamiliar syntax, and it has some limitations. So that's why we rather like to use XML schema. It is stronger, it's more modern. So we're going to spend most of the time on the XML schema. But to understand the whole concept of validation and the structure, it's good to start with the DTD, which is a simpler one. And I think that you should be able to read and understand a DTD. Not necessarily use a lot of time to develop DTDs, because if you were to develop anything, I think you should develop a schema. But it's you need to understand the DTD. From a DTD, be able to understand what is the proper structure. So that's where we're going to start. So it's a document type definition file, and the name of the DTD needs to be the same as the root element. Because what the convention here is that the root element is the type of the document. And that should also be the name of the DTD. And it defines the valid structure and content. Now, you need to say where the DTD is, and this case, you store it inside the document. So when you in the document, you want to define that its type, then you have a doc type specification, and this is the name of the document type, which should be the same as the name of the root element. And in this case, you say it's system, which means that it's a file stored somewhere. So this is the URL, and this is relative in this case. So you find the system file, and this system file will contain the DTD. For standard, like RSS or SVG or some of the standard XML vocabularies, there's something called the public ID. In this case, you don't say system, you just say SVG is the public. And this is the specific reference to the DTD. And this part is the ID, which is the one that the parser is going to use to see if it recognizes this document type. And you can also use internal. You can just specify internally. We don't want to look at that. What we're going to do is focus on the first one. But if you come across public, it just means that this is a standard document type. And then in that case, you can have the parser validate without having to you providing the file, the schema file. Now, there are three types of element content. The first is the element is empty. We remember that we need to say then that we need to end the element when we started. So in this case, we have this, it both starts and ends the element. What else can an element contain? Yeah, it can contain regular text. In this case, we just have text inside the element. And then we have complex content. And complex content means that this element has another element. This one is a simple one because it just has text. It has text. But since the minerals has two children that are elements, it's complex. We're going to use these terms quite a lot. Empty, simple, complex. So empty means it doesn't have children. Simple means it just has text child. Complex means that it has elements, children. So it defines a subtree. How do we do that in the DTD? In the DTD, we just say that this element, calories, should be empty. So if you go to here, if you look at the nutrition's DTD, so if you look at, it defines all elements, because all elements need to be defined. It defines, where did I find calories? Let's see. Calories, here. It's empty. So calories doesn't have any children, but it does have attributes. We'll come back to the attributes later on. But it's empty. So that's how we specify it as being empty. The other one will be, other case will be where elements contain just text. And in this case, we just say, within parentheses, we just say hash PC data. That's a keyword for DTD to say that these are character data that needs to be parsed. And why do they need to be parsed? Well, they may contain entity references. You remember for ampersand and less than, and then we have some entity references. So PC data means that it will parse it and expand and need to remove commands and other things. And the element total fat is about that type. Just contains text. If you look at the DTD I was providing here, you find that most of the elements are PC data elements. So you find A, C, C, A, F, E, serving, manufacturer, name, protein, fiber, carbo, soda. So the few ones, I like to put the ones that have defined trees up early. So the few ones that are really defining trees would be the nutrition itself, the daily values, the food, vitamins, and minerals. Those have other children or other elements as children, not just text. That's the third case. Third case is we have an element, in this case daily values, and what's in parentheses would be the children in their order. So the comma here means that total value comes before saturated fat, which comes before cholesterol, which comes before sodium, which comes before carb, which comes before fiber, that comes before protein. So when we use comma, it means that these elements need to come in this order. So if I start messing around with the order, then the validator will complain. It's expecting them to be in that order. And the same here, food, it names the attributes in their order. Vitamins, they will always have to be A before C. Minerals, always calcium in front of iron. Now, by default, elements are can appear only once. They can't be repeated. So what we need to do sometimes is to say there may be many food items inside the file. Or we could say, okay, we allow that there are no food items. It may be one, it may not be there. Or it may be several of them. So to control this, we have question marks, pluses, and stars. Question mark means that this element may or may not be present. So it will accept documents that has it and documents in which it's not. Plus means that there should be at least one, like we have here. We aren't interested in nutrition documents that don't have any food items. It will be plus. If we said it would be fine to have no elements either also, then we would put a star. If we say that daily values, it is optional, but if it's there, it should be only once. We don't want multiple daily values, just everything in one, but it may, we may not know it, we may not have it, then it will be a question mark. So with question mark, plus, and star, we can control whether there is just one, or whether it's there or not, or if it's one or more. You, have any of you used regular expressions before? Okay, not so many. We're going to have some fun regular expression tomorrow. Very, very simple cases, though. But in that case, it's the same. Question mark plus star are kind of common ways to signify multiplicity. And we can also group. So let's say we would like to say that we, for every day, we would like the average temperature, and we may have min and max. But if we have one, we should have the other one as well. So this one says that the question mark is for this pair. So average temp is okay. Average temp and mean and max is okay. But average plus mean or average plus max is not okay. And anything without average is not okay. So you follow me? Default is one and only one. And then we can group or on individuals, we can tell if there should be zero, one, one or many, or zero or many. Okay, so how would the element definition look like if vitamins and minerals were optional? So let's see in this document. So in the nutrition document, it, right now it says vitamins and minerals are mandatory, which means that if in this document, if for the first one, let's say for the first one, we don't need this. Let's do just vitamins. Or we can do both. We don't need vitamins or minerals because there's nothing. Right now, we just put in lots of zeros, even if there's nothing. Now, what if I did this? And I think there is one example of... Or let's say I just remove the ones. Is it zero? I could just remove the one. Now, if I store this, and if I go to the validator, let's just start all over again. And let's load the nutrition. Okay, so I'm not here. Let's see. Nutrition. And validate. It says that the DTD is being referenced. So let's choose the DTD file. Continue validation. So, it says it's incomplete. It must contain vitamins and minerals. And vitamins is incomplete. It must contain A and Z and C. So if you go here, we find that the first one, it's missing vitamins and minerals. And the second one is missing one of the vitamins. Vitamin A is missing. So, how then could we go to the DTD? Any suggestions? How do we make this optional? By question mark. Putting question mark here, question mark there. If we go here to DTD and choose the new file, There is still one error, I believe, because we didn't say that A or C or CA or FE were optional too. So in this case, I also removed one. So the vitamins is optional, but in this case, one of the children of vitamins is missing. So what I would need to do is to say A, C, CA, FE. Then I also make it possible to have an element, minerals, without any children. What we need to remember is that when we do these things, then we put more burden on the code, because that means that we, in this case, we may not know if vitamins is there. So if vitamins isn't there, then if someone asks what, how much A vitamin, we need to know that, okay, if it's not there, it means that it's zero. So now the code that deals with this would have to be different. So it simplifies the DDD, but it makes the code, or it doesn't simplify the DDD, but it opens for more variants of document. But more alternatives and more variants of documents means that our code is getting more complex. So if we do... validate again. Then we can say continue validation. I guess I should. I need to upload the file, sorry. Choose file. No errors found. So now it passed validation. But again, by having more flexibility, more variance in the document, then we move kind of the burden to the client. Now, what if you like to have a polygon that has, a polygon means at least three corners. So polygon is a, it would define corners with X and Y. So let's change this document by saying doc type is polygon. Oops. And then define the polygon DTD. And this part we can just skip. And then we just make this the polygon. Here? That shouldn't matter, but we can take it away. But it shouldn't matter because XML will, in this case, remove it. In this case, blanks. In this case, it's fine. But okay, so we have an X. Sorry, or something like that. X. And we have Y. So if you say 0, 10, and in this case we have 10, 10. Okay, that's our document we would like to validate. So validate. Now it will ask us for the DTD. So we say element, and then we had polygon, and what may polygon contain? Then we have element x, and x may contain PC data. Let's take the space out there. And it may contain a y. Okay, so how should we specify this? At least three. But we don't have three. We have zero, one, or more. So what we can do is say, okay, we have an x, a y, a x, a y. And what after that? Several x and y. Plus, we need at least one. So it means that we have 2 points, and then at least one more point. So if I haven't typed in anything wrong... No errors. And now if I just a test, if I go to the XML document, and if I add the point, going back to the beginning, that should be fine. No errors. But of course, if I bit too much, I could use the mouse here. So if you go to the XML document and I delete one of the, let's see, one of these, it will complain because now I don't have a complete point. It should be x and y. It just had the last one just has an x, so it's expecting the y. And if I just take away the everything after this one, so it just has 2 points. It will also say it should contain at least one more point. Okay, let's take a break there. And sorry? Oh, we just have 1 hour? Yeah, okay. Well, that is going to be a good break there. We're going to continue tomorrow with the schema. That's right. There is the open day today. Unnskyld meg, ja...